Welcome back, Petersburg parishioners. You are listening to Listening In. I'm Julia Monin, your host and pastoral associate here at the region. And I have with me again today, back again for the third time now, Father.
Three
times.
Trinity.
Oh, there we go. Father Sean Wilson. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks for having me, Julia. Oh,
a pleasure.
Well, I know you don't mean it.
If I had feelings, Father, they would be heard. I heard that from somebody.
That's been my joke recently. I couldn't tell you how many times I'd use that if I had feelings. So it's probably getting old. I might retire for a year and bring it back.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
last month I had you on and I caught up with you a little bit, and then we got talking about the Mass and our favorite parts during Mass.
Yeah, after one of your articles in the bulletin.
Right, exactly, or the newsletter, right.
That's it.
And, I had put something in the bulletin, too. You're quick. You're good. Can't get anything past you.
I can read.
So we had you on, and we talked about the Mass, and at one point you and I kind of said, maybe we'll have to have you back on, and we'll have to talk about the Mass more.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? We had people who jumped on that and said, Can you please have Father Sean back on? I'd love to hear you guys talk about the Mass more.
Wow.
So here we are.
Talking about the Mass.
So per request, I have Father Sean back with us here.
I think we got the Mass is back. That's
the
our
Mass
record, I guess.
Is back.
Yeah.
Can you do a rap or something?
Nope.
Shoot.
But I think that's got to be the reason why people want it more.
Exactly.
You know, because we could plumb the Mass. We were talking about this. We could plumb the Mass for years and just scratch the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So we're scratching more of the surface.
And that's all this is really going to be again for the short amount of time that we do these for 20 minutes. And that was when I asked Father if he would do this again with me this month. He said, absolutely, but we will nowhere get close to going through the whole Mass.
Yeah.
You said you tried to do it when you were a deacon in preaching?
Yeah. So the pastor let me preach all the daily Masses. willingly gave it. And I just decided, well, I'm preparing for priesthood. I'm just going to preach about the Mass. And I asked a couple of parishioners who are at daily Mass what they thought. And they said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. And so I started. And I think it was 5 days a week for 6 or 7 weeks, and I didn't make it through half. I made it through half the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Made it through half the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of an impossible feat for us to get through this, unless I were to have you on for,
we could just talk,
I don't know,
for
5 years
today.
So anyway, keep that in mind. We're not going to go through the Mass step by step, but I would like to sort of start at the beginning, and we'll just kind of pick some things that are personal highlights for us or things that are really powerful for us that speaks to us a lot during the Mass. So I'm going to start at the very, very, very beginning for myself, okay?
Okay.
So the very, very, very beginning to me as a lay parishioner is when I just walk into the church, when I enter the church. And what is probably just a habit for most of us Catholics is just to bless ourselves with holy water as we're entering the church. But a few years ago, after I had become a more daily Mass attendee, and I could hear you talk last month about how the priest has some private prayers that you'll pray throughout the Mass.
Yeah.
And so you overhear some of those more when you're in daily Mass. And I kept overhearing the priest and what you guys pray as you're being cleansed with the holy water prior to the consecration.
Yeah.
So tell us, Father, what's that prayer?
Wash me, O Lord, from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
Which is so beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It is.
So I stole that. And I liked it so much that I stole that. So now that's what I use when I enter the church and I bless myself with holy water. So, I bless myself and wash me, O Lord, of my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. And so that will be what I pray as I enter into the church. So that's the very, 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 very beginning.
That's the start.
Of that for me.
It's great though. You think, because you're going to the holy water font. Were you baptized in that same font that you're dipping your hand in?
I was baptized at St. Lawrence in Rhine.
Oh, okay.
And often I attend Mass at Immaculate Conception on the weekends.
You think about people who are at the same parish, they're just renewing those baptismal vows.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when we bury them, we're sprinkling them with that same baptismal water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that would be the entrance. We're walking in.
Yeah.
We're collecting ourselves. Yes, we're preparing for Mass, and I guess that brings up another point. So as we are preparing for Mass, or we're collecting ourselves, or we're kneeling in prayer before Mass begins, something I started doing probably about 3 or 4 years ago was I had read Rediscover Catholicism by Matthew Kelly, and one of the things he mentions in that book is starting a Mass journal. So the idea is that you go to Mass expecting the Lord to speak to you, expecting to hear something from him, and when he does, you jot that down, and then you sit with that the whole week. So the prayer that he encourages people to pray at the beginning when we're collecting ourselves is, Lord, show me what I can do this week to become a better version of myself. And so as you go through Mass, you're paying attention. You're paying attention to the readings, you're paying attention to the prayers, you're paying attention to the hymns, and you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to just hit you with your one thing for the week. And more often than not, it's clear as day what that one thing is. So I started that, like I said, a few years ago, and I've been doing it ever since. My husband and I both do it. And so that is the prayer I'm collecting myself with before Mass. Lord, show me one way during this Mass that I can become a better version of myself this week. And you'd be surprised, as I go through my week, I'll sometimes forget what I wrote down on the Sunday. And then life will come, and you're working on, and these opportunities come up for growth, or these challenges come up in your life. And I'm like, what am I supposed to be working on this week? Like, what was that one thing I wrote down? Yeah. And if I go back, and I'll be like, that's what I was supposed to, that's what I'm supposed to be working on. So the very first time I ever did that, ever wrote in my Mass journal, I remember what I wrote. It was, remove from me or remove from your life all obstacles that are preventing you from me, or that are keeping you from me. So it was like the Lord Jesus talking to me. Remove from me all obstacles. Remove from yourself all obstacles that are preventing you from being with me.
You finished that one yet?
so I'm still working on it. So, you know, when I wrote it, I was in like this hallelujah moment, like life is good, nothing is wrong. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't have any obstacles in my life. Well, wouldn't you know that it was that same week that I got some hate mail for the first time, and that I just really, it was the first time I had put myself out there and was starting to share. And it was the first time that I had felt the persecution coming, and yet that I went back to my Mass journal and I thought, this is what he's talking about. It's an obstacle. I just need to keep moving forward and not get hung up on it. But anyway, so that's pre-Mass.
That's for me.
That's what I'm going through before Mass.
Yeah.
What about you? What's another part of the Mass that really?
Well, you know, I think about the pre-Mass because we would always, you know, growing up, we'd get to the church, I don't know, you know, 5-7 minutes early, and then, you know, my parents would kneel down and pray. I thought, oh, I guess that's what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew what to say. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what do you do before Mass? So I just kind of look around. It's like, all right, Dad's done kneeling. My brothers are done. I'm about halfway in the family. Okay, time to sit down. And so I never knew what to do, how to prepare yourself for Mass. And then, you know, later on, you figure things out as you grow. And the Second Vatican Council reminded us that the Mass is the source and the summit of everything. So if it's the summit, that means everything leads to Mass, leads, because the Mass is an offering. So what I always thought we should be doing before Mass is going over our week, going over everything that went on, and so that we can offer it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even preparing. Well, maybe that comes after Mass, preparing for the week ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But that you're bringing all of this, you know, all the things that goes on in family life, or all the things that went on at work, and you're just putting it up there on the altar,
mm-hmm.
and leaving it for the Lord and offering it to Him. And that's kind of what I do every morning now, because I get to celebrate Mass every morning, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Job perk.
Yeah, job perk.
I like to joke that there's job perks that come with working at the parish, and that's one of the. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but can I talk about one of my most favorite job perks so far? It's related to the Mass.
If I said no, would that stop you?
No. So I was just doing that out of courtesy. Okay. So one of the biggest job perks I've had so far was a couple weeks ago. Father Sean and I and another staff member attended a seminar in, well, Cincinnati. And so we came back. We left early. We came back in the afternoon, and Father Sean says, I'm going to say Mass if either of you want to come to Mass. Well, of course, I jumped at the opportunity because I had not been to Mass yet that day. So I got to participate in Mass. It was Father Sean saying Mass and just me, which was a job perk. I mean, I left that Mass and I told Father, I said, I didn't realize that that was a dream of mine, but you just fulfilled a dream. Like, I just got to cross that off my list. It was just so powerful to just, I mean, obviously, we weren't the only two there.
Yeah.
But physically speaking, we were the only two there.
Unless you had some vision of some saints and angels.
Exactly. I didn't. Did you? Okay. But it was just really powerful and so, I mean, intimate. Talk about intimate.
Yeah.
To just be there. Now, I will say that I missed the body and I missed the crying kids and the chaos because it, I mean, it's so intimate. But it was a powerful experience that, of the Mass, and I got to view Mass in a whole different way then. Little job perk.
At any point did you kind of realize, I forget the response? Like, you get started on a response, and you realize you just kind of go with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Reminded me how much we need each other.
Yeah.
Like, we need each other, and God put us here in community, and there's a reason for that.
Right.
And even if people annoy you or are, you know, distracting you, we all need each other.
That's true.
Because, there were several times I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be saying something. And then you would look at me, sister. my sister. Oh, okay, I'm here.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a whole different experience.
Yeah.
So I interrupted you. You were talking about pre-Mass and your little ritual and having the blessing of saying Mass every day as a priest. What else? What else during the Mass really speaks to you?
Pretty much everything. If you stop and think about it, everything's got to say something or else I'm just deaf, which happens quite a bit. But I was thinking about, the new translation provided me a lot of time to reflect about what we do and why we say some of those things. You know, that was like 5 years ago, so I'm still a learner. But one of the ones I think is probably most notable is whenever I say, "The Lord be with you," and everybody responds.
And with your spirit.
Right, instead of, it used to be, "and also with you." And so it's like, well, why is that, "and with your spirit"? And it's such a common greeting that it's one of those things that it's the Mass that just pops right out of your mouth. And it's not just like saying, "Hey, how you doing, Father?" Our Father saying, "How's everybody doing? We're doing great, Father."
Mm-hmm.
But you think about, "and with your spirit," that, you know, not for any reason of ourselves, for Father Pat or I or any other priest, that we've been given a special dose of God's spirit to share with his people. You know, that the ordination configured us to Christ and gives us a power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at every time that we say, "The Lord be with you," we're jumping into something that only a priest can do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like whenever I hear that, as I'm, you know, I say, "The Lord be with you," and everybody responds, "and with your spirit," it's almost like, "All right, Father, do this for us.
Mm-hmm.
Take us there. You can do this." And it's not because you're good or anything like that. It's not because you're talented. It's just because God did this for you. So I think it's one of those moments that's humbling, that's realizing that this isn't any gift of my own, that this is what I was called to do for these people, that the Lord's given me the spirit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd be generous with it. That's that's the hope.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you're so empty and so dead to yourself that the gift is just freely.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah, that you're just an instrument in the Lord's hand, right?
Right. Yeah, which is why I say, "and with your spirit," because it's the spirit, not just, "and also with you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Padre,
mm-hmm.
"and also with you."
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
So,
So that's something that, like you mentioned, a lot of us who have grown up in the church and have been attending Mass our whole life, things just become really routine.
Yeah.
And, even with the new translation, that quickly became routine.
It did.
Okay.
It's amazing how fast that happened.
Yes, right, where it just becomes something you do instead of something you're prayerfully engaged in doing, which was the idea of these last 2 months, is that we take a step outside of the routine for a little bit and really think about, what is it that we're really saying? What is it that's really happening? You mentioned, we were joking before the podcast started, that your part you were going to talk about here was going to be the collection.
The collection,
okay. So he was joking that, okay, I'll talk about the collection. ha ha ha. But I will be honest, that's one part where I am mindful of what you mentioned. It's good to collect before Mass to think about what am I bringing to the Lord? What am I bringing to the table? What am I giving him this week? What am I offering? And that to me is what happens inside of me when we're doing the collection. So yes, we're putting the money in, and financially I'm giving financially right. to the church, but I always tell the Lord I can do better than that. And so to recall through the week, what am I offering to the Lord this week? And some of it is the sacrifices, the times where you've wanted to fight back and where you've bit your tongue, or the times that you've, and sometimes too, you can give him your joys and you can give him what's gone right for the week. And there's a lot of times I even give him my messy, broken sinfulness. Like, yeah. I know I handled that wrong, but I'm giving that to you too.
He wants that.
Exactly.
He really wants that.
So we can give that all, put that all in the collection, and then all of it is taken up to the altar as the offering.
That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That it's not just, like, that's why we just don't put a basket by the door. Mm-hmm. It's because there's a bigger significance, exactly what you said. But you know what I thought about? I had to teach RCIA this Saturday on marriage. And so we're talking about kind of the marriage rite. And as the family at the Saturday evening mass was bringing up the collection, I couldn't help but think that they're the bride coming up the aisle, that they're coming up to meet their groom, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And they're symbolizing that for everybody. I thought, man, that's awesome. And I was just smiling, looking like an idiot, probably. But it was a great little reminder of what's happening, the interaction, the wedding that's happening at Mass between the people and the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So we did talk about.
We did talk about, like, the collection.
And that does open it up to a whole nother level of understanding. Because again, if you're just sitting there and you're going through the motions and, you're not thinking about, well, what's the purpose of this part?
Well, right after that, I say to you, after I've offered the gifts, wash my hands, like you said, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Well, what's your sacrifice? Mm-hmm. It's not just your money. It's your very selves, that we give everything of ourselves to him. And that's worship. Worship isn't singing a song and doing your best singing. It's part of it, of course, because that's part of who we are. But real worship's giving everything we have to God. Mm-hmm. So.
And putting it right there on that altar.
Yeah.
Right there. Yep. Putting it right there and giving it to the Lord to do with whatever the Lord sees fit to do with. That's all he wants from us, right?
Yeah.
He wants the good, the bad, and the ugly.
He wants everything.
He wants everything.
Yeah, it sounds so simple, but it's everything.
Just give him everything. I mean, what's so hard about that? Just kidding. Yeah. That is a lifelong challenge to shed ourselves of all of this and to put it in God's hands. Yeah. But obviously that's where it belongs.
Talking about just entering into what the Mass is and what's going on. So it just doesn't become such a routine. And I always think one of the ways to do that is to close our eyes. Mm-hmm. That is sometimes, then you can really listen, because, they talk about somebody who's blind, then their other senses kind of heighten a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the same happens in a little ways for us, that when we're, and if you're raising kids and you're trying to keep the kids in the pew and not from, falling or doing anything else, you can't close your eyes.
Please don't close your eyes.
Please don't close your eyes. Yeah. But for other people, I think it's a great way to kind of, and I imagine that's been part of your, I noticed on the one Mass that that it was just the two of us, I looked up and I thought, well, I don't have to look at her. She's not looking at me.
No. Yeah. Right. No, I often my eyes are closed or fixed on the tabernacle, Christ in the Eucharist, or on the crucifix and fixed there. And there'll be deep moments of prayer, like after receiving the Lord in communion or before I leave, where I will return and kneel, where I will just cover my face altogether. Yeah. And I will just get lost in prayer with my face completely covered. And that's not because I'm trying to shut everybody else out. It's just that I'm trying to go within that place within where the Lord is.
Yeah.
And so I do that. One time I was in prayer and I had my face covered and my head down. And all of a sudden somebody walks up next to me and flicks me on the head. Hey, what are you doing? And I look up. Well, it's my sister. So she was allowed to do it. But I'm like, I'm trying to pray. She goes, well, I just distracted you. I thought, well, yeah, you did, but that's okay. That you can find that peace within, where you can find that the Lord Jesus who's living
in you.
In you.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And yes, closing your eyes, and that helps me. That helps me get to that, to that place. Okay, so that was kind of the very start, kind of ventured through the part. And now let's talk about a little bit at the end when this, we have the sending forth. I joked in that my newsletter article that the old me, 5-10 years ago, my favorite part was probably the final blessing, because that's where the Lord said, go in peace. The the priest said, go in peace. The mass is ended.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm out of here. Like,
deuce.
Yeah. That was my favorite prayer of the mass. But certainly we have our concluding prayers where we are set forth, right? That's the idea, is that we come here, we're strengthened, we worship the Lord, and we worship with our community, and we're strengthened by the word and by the sacrament. For what?
To go.
To be sent.
To go.
To be sent out and to share it with the world around us, right?
Yeah, and that's actually where the mass is called. Like, where does the word mass come from?
You tell me.
The in Latin, the dismissal is ite missa es, go, it is sent.
Mm.
And so the mass comes from that word missa. So the mass is basically our gearing up to be sent forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just our dose of Jesus Christ so that we can go out in the world and be saints.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the whole mass is about. It's not just, you know, checking something off. It's about, you know, you going out in the Lord and spreading the good news. And then, you know, you get beaten up, you get some wounds, you have some joys, and you need to come back to Him and offer that. And then you go back out into the world. So that's, you know, we talked about the Mass being the summit that everything mm-hmm. leads to,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the source of, you know, it's our fountain that we're going to get rejuvenated to go back out into the world and just, you know, rock it for the gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which is why I need it every day and not just
Sunday. Yeah, that's right. That's why priests get to celebrate every day.
And which is why that has become ingrained in me too, daily mass, because I do. I need that that nourishment and that connection to go out every day.
Yeah.
So that's beautiful. So that was of course not breaking down the entire mass, but I didn't promise that we'd be able to do that this time. But certainly I'm hoping that a father can join us again as we move forward. And I wanted to, do you want to share with the group here real quick, where'd we just come from before we recorded this podcast?
Minster, of all places.
Minster.
We're in Minster, Ohio, and at the Radio Maria Studios. Mm-hmm. So what it's the first and the fourth Mondays of the month, Julia and I are taking our, I don't know, how do you say, being part of the Living the Lectionary program? So,
correct.
9:30 Eastern time. I don't think we have any Central Time listeners, but
you know, probably not.
So we're doing that for a half hour, 9:30 to almost 10, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a little introduction today and got our feet wet, and we'll be there next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about the readings on. We're going to do it live.
Yep, we are going to do it live. That's right. This podcast is not live.
It's not.
But yeah, Father Sean and I will be on air, Radio Maria, on the first and fourth Mondays of every month in the program called Living the Lectionary. So that's where we just came from.
88.7.
So if you enjoy hearing Father Sean and I chit-chat, that's another place where you can find us online. You can find it on stream it on the internet if you don't have a radio. So that's where we came from. And why are you looking at me like that?
If you don't have a radio?
I don't have a radio in my house.
Okay.
Do you have a radio in your house? I have one in my car.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. All right. Anyways. Wrap us up. Take us home.
All right. So actually, I'm going to let you wrap us up. I'm
going to
let the Father close us in prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks for all of your gifts. We thank you especially for the gift of the Most Holy Eucharist. We ask that we may treasure this gift, that we may cherish it, that you may open our eyes and open our hearts, that we may realize the incredible gift that you've given us in the Eucharist. And we ask that it may so transform our hearts that we be courageous in sharing your word and zealous in being generous with our love out in the world. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of the Eucharist, as we pray.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.